And you know, I don't have any ability to give you that, to be honest, in myself, and neither does any man. You can go see all the gurus you want, that you can give them your money. They'll take your money, but they really can't give you happiness. But you know, when you see these children bouncing around on this stage and just being who they are, when are we going to get it? When are we going to get it? You want the joy they have. I want the joy they have. Let's start acting like they act. Let's start living life like they live. Let's stop being ashamed. Let's stop being so full of ourselves and our pride and act so concerned about what everybody around you thinks. Some of you in here, and I've been there too, I'm not trying to browbeat us, but some of us are paralyzed by what people who don't even think of you think about you. You're sitting here paralyzed, worried about what somebody's thinking about you, and to be honest, they don't even, they're not even in your mind. They're worried about their own stuff. They're probably sitting there worried about what you're thinking about them. But when I see little children willing to come up here and not care what anybody thinks, and I see the joy in their heart, something tells me that there's a road there. There's a solution there to your problem. There's a solution there to your depression. And it's giving up the way you've always done things. It's giving up the game. It's giving up the pride. And it's being like these little children. Now, a lot of them are back there listening, watching on TV. There's a little bit of delay, so you know. But if you really appreciate the way these kids have preached and man, just gave all they have today. And then I don't do this to glorify them, but it's the God in them, the way they've let God use them today. If you really mean that, I want you to give them a big love offering right now. I want you to let them know how much. Kelly said about how it's intimidating when you're up here and people are frowning at you. That applies to me too. And I've got a deal for you. The more you give God attention, the more you smile, and the more you're into it, the quicker it's going to go for both of us. How's that work? I'm not here to shoot the Easter bunny, and I'm not here to shoot grandma's ham dinner, okay? I don't have some big sermon for you. In fact, I didn't even know I was going to get a microphone today, and I don't think Kelly did either. None of us did. I don't have a single note or an outline, so I'm just going to obey the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be very brief. What I believe I'm going to do is play you a little video clip, Resurrection, and I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and we're going to go forward. I am so thankful for this ministry team. I can't go on without. I'm so thankful for this ministry God is putting together. So proud. I'm so proud of every one of you, from the people that speak on a microphone, to the people that park the cars, to the people who play the music, the people who do the sound, to the people who work with the children, the people who work with the youth, to the little children. They're a part of this ministry team. They're not a little cute thing we put up here to get you to come and see us. They are a part of our ministry team, and we take what goes on back there very seriously. Very seriously. And God's been putting that on my heart. Very seriously. How seriously, you say? Well, this dad right here was in the religious game a few years ago. Playing a religious game, playing, living two lives, 1 foot one way, 1 foot the other way. Living two lives. Religious game. And a young daughter in a youth service got it before I did. And she got on fire with the Holy Spirit. And she stood at a meeting. I wasn't even there. I didn't care. I don't know where I was. Probably somewhere doing something about me. She stood up and gave a prophetic word that someday my father is going to get the fire that I have. And revival started that moment in my family. Revival started that moment in my family. And my life turned upside down. So let me tell you something. When I say we take this seriously, I really mean we take this seriously. Because the words of a little girl changed my life. The words of a little girl changed my whole life. So maybe that experience means that I sort of believe that the words of these children can change your life. Today. That's a powerful thing. You know, I was at a funeral of a really good friend this week. It was an awesome time. Oh, yeah, it was. But they gave an altar call. Now, I say this. When I say this, you got to understand what I'm saying. Preachers do not save souls. Preachers just are used to the Holy Spirit as anybody else who's saved. The Holy Spirit draws people. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, saves people. Okay? But another person came at that funeral, the altar. And I couldn't help. I grinned. I told the family. I said, the old preacher got him one more. I say that to say this. You know what those kids back there want today? I'm not trying to guilt you to make a life decision. I'm not trying to guilt you into action. I'm just telling you, I'm being real with you. Now, if you take those kids after this and say, wow, you did a good job, little Johnny, little Susie, and you buy them a new video game or something like that, they'll take it. They're still kids. But I promise you, because I know the teaching that goes on back there, you know what they really want to see out of their work today? More than video games and Easter egg hunts and chocolate. And kids are about all of that, man. I'm about all that sometimes. But more than any of that, they would love to see people here respond to the gospel because they were used of the Holy Spirit. They'd love to say, I got me one more, Mommy. Jesus got me one more. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I really mean that. I don't have some big sermon. If you just be patient. Don't be distracted. The enemy wants to distract us. The enemy's already thinking about Ham and stuff. We're going to be quick. The Holy Spirit allows it. We'll be quick. If you'll just bear with us and really see if God can challenge you today. I'm going to show this video, read a scripture, and ask you a couple questions. Here we go. Thanks to Mark Burnett.
Who are you looking for?
If you've taken him, tell me where he is. Teacher?
Go and tell our brothers. I am here.
Open. He's alive. I saw him.
That's not possible.
I saw him.
Mary, maybe it was someone else.
You think I'm mad? Peter, see the tomb for yourself. Now, do you believe me?
But he's gone.
Gone? No. He's back.
I need a cup and some wine.
What happened? His body. His blood.
I am the way. The truth. And the life. No, this isn't real. Thomas, stop doubting. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles and you're able, you can stand for the reading of the Word, a very brief word, Mark 16:1. Listen, God is clearly saying to us today, there are people in this room, nothing is an accident here. There's people in this room, and God is telling you something right now. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Mark 16:1, here I go. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before you died. You may be seated. Couple questions. I told you I was going to read a scripture, play a video for visual, and a couple questions. Here's question number one. Do you know that Easter, what we call Easter, this holiday, many of you know what we're here, we've been talking about it. It's more than chocolate and it's more than that sort of thing. But how many know that it's more than about a single resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago? Do you understand what? Now, some of you may have a problem with that statement, but I really want you to listen and let that sink in. Easter is more than about a single resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago. You get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that seems like a very touchy subject. Well, preacher, what are you talking about? Of course it's about a resurrection 2,000 years ago. The greatest moment in human history. I went to Mr. Jefferson's fine university for 7 years and got several degrees, and I can tell you, everyone agrees that the greatest moment in human history, the greatest, most influential person, whether you believe him or not, whether you believe he was a divine or not, was Jesus Christ. The moment that changed humanity like nothing else was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For you see, from that moment on, the only question, the question that divided man, sheep from the goats, that divided families, that divided people, was one question. What will you do with this man Jesus? What will you do with his claims? Oh, you ever notice that there's not this big anti, you know, the atheists are really just bitter people. But you know, Nobody has a problem. Nobody protests Muhammad. Nobody protests Buddha. Where are the atheists protesting the Buddha statues? Oh, if they're really just about their beliefs, why is the only person they protest Jesus Christ? Because it is an attack from Satan. And Jesus Christ is the only one that matters. Jesus Christ is the only one that matters. Changed human history. The greatest moment in human history. We've heard all about it. I'm so glad, Kelly. That was a divine inspired word about how the disciples were hungry early on. Hungry early on. But after all the miracles and all the time, they got lax and they got lazy. Because I want you to understand something. We can wear these around our neck. We can put them in rap videos. We can put them on affliction t-shirts. We can put them all kinds of places. But let me tell you something. We can grow insensitive to what this is all about. The greatest moment in human history, Jesus Christ, who was beaten beyond recognition, as Kelly preached, was beaten beyond recognition for your sins and my sins. He was put on a cross. I saw Mark Burnett. He put a tweet out. He said, see this hammer? He said, the hammer that nailed my sins to that cross, they don't have a claw on the end of it. The nails don't come out. Those sins won't come back off. Those sins were nailed on that cross, and they were sealed in blood, and they hung up there through the power of love. The greatest moments in human history, he hung on a cross, and he had every ability to come off. But even more than that, he bore your sins and my sins. You understand what that means? You understand what that means? That means the guilt that you carry around with you. He bore that. You see, it wasn't just a death. Some people say lots of people have died. There have been missionaries. People have died for all sorts of causes. Good men die for good causes. But Jesus Christ died a death like no other. Because only Jesus took your sins to the cross. So when he was hanging on that cross, you understand, the depression that tears you up, he had it on him. He had the depression of every human being who would ever come to know him in the history of the world. And he bore that on his back. He bore your pain. He bore your insecurities. He bore the hurt of what somebody did to you when you were little, when you were young, what somebody took advantage of you. He bore that and he felt that pain. That's real. And it happened. Oh, the things that keep you up at night, the things that you keep covered, the things you don't want anybody to know. Every pain, the pain of loneliness, the pain of despair, the addictions that you fight, he became that. He felt those cravings. Do you understand the power of the gospel? We've heard it so many times that we gloss over it. Those addictions he felt in that moment. He bore your sins and he bore mine. He held them on his back. There wasn't a nail in the Roman Empire that could have held him on that cross with all the weight of that on his back. Only his love for you. Because he looked out throughout humanity in only the way that the divine Son of God could do. And he saw your hurt. He saw your empty places. He said, I've got to stay on there for them. It's personal. Not just for somebody else. Not just for some preacher. Not just for Billy Graham or somebody on TV. Oh, my Bible says when he died, the partition was torn. And access to the Father, to the Holy of Holies, was granted to all who would come by way of the Son. But for you, he bore your sins. It's personal for you. It's personal. And it's about you. Greatest epoch, greatest moment, the greatest wrinkle in time. How so? When he went away, when he died, when he said it is finished, the sky grew dark. Think about this. I mean, it was like the earth shook on its foundation. The rocks started, there was an earthquake. And even the Roman soldiers said, oh my, what have we done? Surely, this must be the Son of God. Surely this man, there's something going on here. Oh, strange things begin to happen. The rocks were falling. And how many know there were more resurrections? than just Jesus. The Bible said that people, dead people who had been in their tombs, began to get up all over the city. There was something powerful going on. The greatest moment in human history. There was miracles all around. Dead people started getting up out of the ground and walking among the city. And the disciples, as the video showed, was pretty good. They hid away, not knowing what to do. What do we do? Our whole life, we've given up 3 years of our life. We gave up our jobs. We gave up everything. And he said he was going to be king. Now what? We got a couple choices. We can go get killed like he got killed. We can sneak on back to Galilee and they'll never find out. We can just become fishermen. We just leave Jerusalem and go back to the sticks, go back to the boonies. They'll never find out. Do you realize that? The disciples had the ability to go about their way, to go back to their families and say, "Woo, man, I've been duped. I've been duped. I've been duped." They could have done that. They could have went back to fishing. And they could have lived normal little lives with two donkeys and 2.5 children. And they could have just had a nice little life back then. Right? Could have had them a little fun. Could have went fishing. But something changed on Sunday morning. Something happened that would change those men so much. They said, "I will die. I will die before I will recant." And every one of them did but one. Every one of them did save one. Those men no longer hid away. They got up and they said, "I'll die for what I just saw. I'll die for what I just saw." I don't know about you, but if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have died for it. If he hadn't saved my soul, if he hadn't come and invaded my life, if he hadn't changed my world, if he hadn't cured my depression, if he hadn't given me a purpose, if he hadn't changed my family, I wouldn't be standing here before you. I'm standing here because I was once dead, and now I live. So he got up and he changed the world. And we've seen it all throughout this. The children demonstrated. The children preached it perfectly. We saw what happened. He got up. And you know what? If you read history, if you're a history buff like I am or was, most of the history you read, antiquated history, most of the real old history you read, is based on a lot less writings and eyewitness accounts than what I'm preaching to you today. Do you understand that? Most of history is based on one or two corroborative stories, ancient history. Now, I know now we got video. Woo, we got YouTube. We're all a star. But we didn't have that 2,000 years ago. And most of the things you read are based on a few little documented accounts. But I'm here to tell you there were hundreds, over 500 written accounts of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ appearing after they said he was dead. After he had been crucified and put in a tomb. He got up just like he said he would. And he changed the world. So we've established that the greatest thing in human history happened on the weekend we're commemorating here. The greatest moment in human history, whether you follow him or not, life would be changed forever. So then why, preacher, did you say earlier that this is about more than just one resurrection 2,000 years ago? Have you been thinking about that? Have you been thinking? Are you with me still? If you're with me, say amen. Why then is it about more than one resurrection? What are you saying, preacher? This tomb could represent a lot of things. But when I think of this tomb, you know what I think about? I think about me and you. I think about me. And I think about you. You see, you were meant to be a container. You were meant to be a temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell. That is your purpose. That is your calling. You can take a lion. You can put him in a little cage. You can take a lion. You can chain him, put him in his backyard. You can take a lion. You can put him in your bathroom and lock the door. You can put him in your closet. But you let him out, he's still a lion. Your purpose is to be a container for the Holy Spirit of God. But guess what we do? Guess what we do? We take that container and things happen to us. Life happens to us, as we say here. Stuff starts happening to us. So what do? We start getting dead things in us. Dead things in us. You ever had dead things in you? You know what? I'd say some of us have dead things in here right now. Dead things in us. What are you talking about? I've got dead things in me. Stuff happens to you. Stuff happens to you. Life happens. Your childhood doesn't go like you think. Maybe you didn't have a mom and dad for you. Maybe somebody was mean to you. Maybe somebody abused you. Maybe you had a marriage and somebody was abusive to you. Maybe you started playing around with the wrong crowd and you got into drugs and you got too far gone and you have an addiction you can't beat. Maybe you were hurt by religion. Maybe some church, you poured your heart out and you said, I'm really into this church. I really believe in these people. And they let you down. Don't believe in me, I'll let you down. You believe in him. Oh, I thought I had this life. I was going to church and I had this husband or I had this wife and things were good. And they did things to me. They did things behind my back and I'm hurt and I'm scarred. I thought we were in this together. God, if you're God, why do you let bad things happen to good people? God, if you're God, why did I lose that child? God, if you're God, why did that person abuse me? And we put those things and we harbor those things and we keep those things deep inside. And they're sick things. And then they become dead things. How's that for being real? Can I be real? There's dead things in us, friend. Dead things deep inside. And we do one or two things that the scripture tells us that I just read you. Oh, even Cam Cameron had the same account. We do one or two things. Here's what we do. Number one, we take burial spices and we try to put them on those dead things. So what am I talking about? You read the women were going to the tomb to put on burial spices on what they thought was a dead body. I want you to understand what this is talking about. This is not an embalming fluid. Okay? That's not an embalming fluid. The body was already in the tomb. What burial spices were for, they were literally spices that had an odor, a pleasant odor, a smell. And they would apply these on the dead things, the dead bodies, to try to mask the stink and stench. That's graphic, isn't it? How many knows dead things stink? You want to know why it's hard for you to smile? You want to know why it's hard for you to be nice to your wife or your husband or your children? You want to know? Because you got a stench in here, man. You got a stench. So we go and we get spices. We get spices. We get things and we try to rub it all over the stench to make it smell pretty, to hide it. But I hate to tell you something. You can take those little cans of that rose smell and you can spray it over dog mess. Excuse my bluntness. And all it smells like is dog mess and roses. You don't get rid of the stench, friend. You can keep putting these things all over your life. You can keep putting drugs in you. You can keep putting hobbies in you. You can keep getting a little religion and dancing around and messing around. But you're not covered in the stink. You're not fooling nobody. And at night, when you lay your head down on your bed, you know it's the truth. You still smell it. You still smell it. There's people, they've been scarred, they don't know how to have intimacy. They don't know how to love other people. I'm just being blunt. I hope that's okay. Holy Spirit says go, I'm going to go. They don't know how to have intimacy with other people. So they crave contact. They crave closeness. They crave somebody to love them, and they don't know how to get there. So they start having physical encounters with person after person, trying to feel close to somebody. But in the end, friend, it stink, and you will be empty. You will be empty. Oh, maybe if I drink enough, maybe this pill will help. And I'm not against doctors. oh, if I had something to need a pill, I'd take it. But I'm telling you, maybe this pill will work. Maybe this drug will work. Maybe this hobby. Maybe if I really get into this golf game. Maybe if I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe if I pump the eye. Maybe if I look like Marilyn Monroe. Maybe if I get all the greatest makeup and go to Ulta and become a frequent member at Ulta and buy out everything in the store. Yes, I know what Ulta is. That's because I got a woman. Maybe if I shop enough. Maybe if I'm addicted to shopping and I go buy every kind of dress and every kind of style and that gets my attention. And, or maybe if I go to enough vacations. Maybe if I work enough. Maybe if I work enough. Let me ask you this. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm coming to a close. What kind of spices are you putting on your dead thing? You hear me? What kind of things are you applying in your life that you know isn't making you better? It's not changing a thing. It's not eternal. It's not making you any happier, but you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. What kind of things? So one, we try to put spices to cover up our stink of our dead things. But you know what the second thing we do is? It's in this biblical gospel. We roll a stone over it and try to hide it. I bury it. I bury it deep inside so that it can never get out and nobody can ever get to it. I'm going to hide it. I'm going to pile rocks and rocks and stones, and I'm going to hide that dead thing. I'm going to hide it so nobody can see it. But you know what? It's still there. It's still there. There's still an empty spot hidden deep behind those rocks, behind that stone. There's still an empty spot, and there's a dead thing hidden from the world. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but are you with me? Don't raise your hand, but I want to ask you this question. How many would be honest and say, you know what? I've got things that I've buried deep inside. I've covered with rocks and stones, secret places, because I didn't want anybody to know. And you know what? I can keep putting spices on it, but I'm rotting into the core, and eventually I'm going to die. Eventually I'm going to die. I said earlier, this question, Easter, was not only just about a single resurrection 2,000 years ago. You know what Easter today means to me? You know what got me up this morning excited? I took a moment to reflect. I cry every Easter morning. I can't help it. I'm that way. I think about the power of that moment. But you know what got me excited? What really got me excited? It wasn't the resurrection. It happened 2,000 years ago. Whoa, preacher, that's that. No, listen to me. It was the resurrections that were going to happen today. You see, Jesus Christ did not get out of the resurrection business the morning he got up out of that tomb. He's been rolling away stones ever since. Nobody's rolled away more stones than Jesus Christ. Nobody. How do I do it, preacher? The rock is so big. The rock is so big. I can't do it. I don't want anybody to see it. My friend, all you got to do is pour your heart out to him. He'll take care of the stone. He'll roll away the stone. And that which was dead in you shall be alive. I promise you. I promise you. How do you know? The Bible tells me so. Yes. That's true. But you know how else I know? Because I was there. I've been there. I had dead things within me. My life stunk. My family stunk. And he took all that. He rolled away the stone. He picked me up. And that which was dead, he made alive. And I'm not perfect, but I'm alive, friend. And I'm free. And I have joy. How about you? How about you? I know one thing. You keep doing things the way you've been doing, you're going to get the same result. You keep doing things the same way you've been doing, you'll get the same result. We're fooling ourselves and we think some magical bunny or fairy is going to come and poof, now you're happy. You want to get happy? Get the dead things out of your life and fill your life with life. Fill your life with joy. Fill your life with Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So here's the question. We're coming to a close. It's not even messing. I mean joking. We're coming to a close. Here's the question. How many knows, really knows, that deep inside, there's dead things. There's hurts. There's insecurities. There's pride. There's depression. There's addiction. Look, and this isn't to judge people. It's different for different people. Some people, it's religious scars, family issues. Oh, there's so many things. Life happens. We make ourselves miserable, presupposing that life is some sort of fairy tale that always works out the way we want it to work out, when in reality, that doesn't work out for anybody. Dead things. I'd like you to bow your head. I know you think you came here to see your kids perform, but you saw your kids preach to you. They got up here, and what you saw in them was life. You saw joy. You saw life. And you saw a belief. They don't doubt, my man, woman, boy, girl. They don't doubt. They believe. And look how happy they are. Do you want that? Something deep down inside of you want that. So here's the question. Nobody looking around. Because I want you to have a personal moment with God. I want you to have a personal moment with God. I don't want you to have to worry. I know we as grown-ups, we just have to worry about what everybody else thinks of us. But I want for you a moment to have a personal moment with God and not look around. Nobody cares. I promise you, ain't nobody going to go home and talk about you. They got their own problems. So here's the question. Who would be honest enough to admit, with nobody looking around, just by raising your hand, I'm going to pray with you, pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't do that. But who would be honest enough to respond to the preaching of these children have given and say, you know what? I've got dead things in my life. I know I do. All over this room. 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 Come on, keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Not up now. Not up now. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. I've got dead things right now. I've got dead things deep inside. I've got dead things I've covered with rocks. I've got dead things I've put spices all over, but they're still dead. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Keep them up. Nobody's looking. Nobody look. Nobody look. Nobody look. Nobody look. Something's getting ready to happen. Two things are going to happen. You're going to get up in just a minute. You're going to come. Keep your hands up. I'm not going to point you out, I promise. You're going to get up. You're going to come. And that which is dead is going to become life. Jesus is going to roll away the stone, and he's going to fill you with life. And you know what? Those spices that you've been throwing on your body, those spices you've been applying to that dead thing, you ain't going to need them anymore. You don't read in the gospel they ever used those spices, friend. You can throw them down. The second thing that's going to happen, you're going to hear a roar of applause in the back. And you're going to see little children running to the front to pray with you. Because our children pray for you here. It's going to happen right now. Are you ready? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Hands up. Hands up. When I count to three, you get up. When I count to three, you get up and you come forward. When I count to three, and I know you're pinned in, you just tell the person, excuse me, I got to go get some life put in me. I got to go get rid of some junk. Are you ready? One. Right now. That's right. Two. You ready? Come on. Come on. Come on. Get up. Three. Get up. Come with me. Come on. Come on. Come on, all over this room. Come on, come on, come on, come on, all over this room. Come on, come on, every hand, every hand, every hand, every hand. Come on, 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 come on. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Oh, you're battling, don't you quit, don't you quit. Come on, there's more hands. There's more hands that need it right now. Come on. Come on. Oh, there's dead things. Dead things deep inside. He wants to roll away the stone. And he wants to give you life today. There's more hands in this room. There's more hands in this room. Don't you quit fighting right now. Don't you quit fighting right now. Come on. Fight. 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 close your eyes. There's people down here getting ministered to. You can find that on Jesus' blood. There's some people, maybe you're here in this room and you're in a debate. There is a battle that is going on between your flesh and the spirit. And there are voices in your head that are giving you all the reasons why you should not answer the call. But you need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that allows you to answer the call.
And it's hidden in my heart.
Just turn that up. I want you to listen to the words of this song.
The day it tore my world apart.
And this is for you.
Hallelujah. King forever. Friend and Savior. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood.
If you need Jesus, get out of your seat and come right now.
And the secret, it
what you possibly be waiting on? Is anybody else? You said, that's me. You raised your hand. You didn't respond. You feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart. I promise you, if you don't respond now, He's going to follow you out that door. He's not going to leave you alone.
Where every woman,
He loves
every
you too
son.
Much. Is anybody else? You say, man, that's me. There's a whole altar full of people.
Why
would Jesus care about me when there's all these people down here at the altar already responding? Well, that's just how big His love is for you.
King forever,
His blood will never fail you. He'll never leave you alone. It'll wash away everything you've ever done in your life.
And Jesus' blood,
somebody else just asked me.
Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood, Jesus' blood.
You know, there's people that have prayed for you for years and years and years.
Praise the God.
I know there are people in this room today I personally have prayed for years and years and years. I just say to you today, today is your day. So we're going to do one more thing before I turn this loose, because I feel like this is an important thing to do. I want you to look to your person on your left and your right, and I simply want you to ask them the question, are you right with God? And if they say no, just say, hey, I'll go with you, and simply grab their hand and walk to the front together. You say, there's all kinds of people there. Just make a way. Just make a way. Ask the question now. You say, man, are you right with God?
Never.
If they say no,
never will.
Go ahead and ask the question. Is anybody else?
Can
we dismiss today?
Say,
man, that's me.
Never fail.
That's me. That's me. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Can we give the Lord a shout this morning? Come on, you can do better than that.
There's a secret I must tell.
That's awesome. I don't know how many people have responded, but there's a lot of people who responded this morning. And that resurrection that took place 2,000 years ago, people still resurrected today. Amen? Amen? How many of y'all been blessed today?
The day it tore my world apart.
I can tell you this, God's moved. God has done some awesome things in this house this morning.
King forever, friend and Savior. Jesus.
We do have one to pray. We're praying for somebody. We'll do it. Right about the back here. We got people up here. Some have rededicated. Some have done some powerful things. We got some first-time salvations up here. Let me tell you something. The enemy likes fresh meat. The enemy likes to pick us off when we're little. So I need some people while we get ready to do this to come and hug some people and let them know you love them and let them know you're there for them. Give them some cell phone numbers and say, you can text me, man. Give them some love.
And the secret, it will run. To the corners of the earth, where every woman, every son will carry higher their chains undone. Hallelujah.